Hello and thank you for joining us for episode 18 of The Backside of Water, a podcast that delves into the rich history, awesome stories, and fascinating details behind your favorite Disney attractions. I'm Harrison Ownby.
And I'm Alex Stewart.
And today we're... Say, Al, what are you doing?
Well, I'm having the time of my life. That's what I'm doing.
Well, it looks like you're whitewashing a fence. Ain't that work?
Well, maybe it is and maybe it ain't. All I know is it suits me just fine.
So you like whitewashing that there fence?
Well, I don't see what's not to like about it. Fella doesn't get a chance to whitewash a fence every single day.
Well, say, Al, would you let me whitewash a little?
Heck no. I couldn't possibly. I'd rather whitewash than do anything else in this here world.
Well, would you let me whitewash if I bought you a churro?
Afraid not.
Okay, well, how about if I bought you a churro and a sedan?
Well, I suppose if it's a mid-sized sedan, I might let you.
Well, I'm itching something powerful to whitewash that fence.
All right, tell you what. I'll let you whitewash this here fence if you get me a churro ice cream sandwich and a four-door mid-sized sedan.
That's a great deal. Thanks, Alex.
Sure, but you better start whitewashing before I change my mind. Hey, say, in the meantime, let me take this here steamboat down memory lane and tell you all about the history of a little place in Disneyland called Tom Sawyer Island. What do you say? Tom Sawyer Island has actually been a part of the park since it opened back in 1955. But on opening day, it was, believe it or not, completely bare, with no guest access available.
So, the rivers of America wrapped around a bare island?
Exactly. Walt was so busy with the rest of the park that he simply didn't have time to focus any attention on this little island paradise. But after a few months of making sure everything was running smoothly, Walt turned his efforts to getting the island up and running. There were a ton of ideas thrown around for the island, such as making it a treasure island to coincide with the Disney's 1950 live-action film. The first live-action film ever made by Disney, actually, was Treasure Island. They also considered making it a Mickey Mouse Island with a home base for the Mickey Mouse Club and its Mouseketeers. Another idea they kicked around was making it a showcase for miniature historic landmarks such as Mount Vernon and Independence Hall.
Well, it is interesting that a pirate island was one of the first ideas Walt had. Then, almost 57 years later, it became Pirate's Lair on Tom Sawyer Island.
I know, man. A lot of Walt's original ideas were realized quite a bit later.
Yeah.
So, Disney legend Mark Davis started drawing up concept art for Tom Sawyer Island.
And we end up mentioning Mark Davis in almost every episode. He was involved in so much of Disneyland's DNA, and his fingerprint is all over the park.
Absolutely, but this time, Mark Davis was having a hard time making the concept art the way Walt wanted it. Apparently, Walt took the design from Davis, and Walt himself drew the plans for Tom Sawyer Island in his workshop. He then gave the designs back to Davis and said, "Now that's the way it should be."
So you're telling me that Tom Sawyer Island was designed by Walt himself?
That is exactly what I'm telling you.
Wow.
Walt imagined the shapes and curves of Tom Sawyer Island. He said, "I put in all the things I wanted to do as a kid and couldn't." Now, Bill Evans handled the landscaping, and Sam McKim put the finishing touches on the treehouse. Tom Sawyer Island opened in 1956. Walt said it was one of his favorite parts of the park, and it remained essentially the same until 1992, when the south end of the island was rebuilt to include a stage for Fantasmic.
Oh yeah, and then in 2007, we talked more about Fantasmic in our Rivers of America episode, but in 2007, Tom Sawyer Island became Pirate's Lair on Tom Sawyer Island to coincide with the Pirates of the Caribbean films. And they kept elements of Tom Sawyer, but added a heavy pirate influence. Injun Joe's Cave became Dead Man's Grotto. They added a couple shipwrecks, made Jean Lafitte's Tavern a pirate pub, and then added hidden pirate booty to Castle Rock.
If you guys want to hear some of the funniest things in our show, go back to our Pirates of the Caribbean episode and listen to Harrison just really try his best at saying Jean Lafitte.
I try to just, you know, be an endearing screw up. That's the level that I shoot for, because if the bar's too high, there's no way you're gonna have fun.
I'm just gonna put that on your tombstone. Lovable oaf.
Totally.
Hey, Harry, are you ready for a Disneyland deep cut?
What does that even mean?
Well, let me put it on for you. Oh, sorry, it's not a record. It's actually me just telling you that this crazy journey is going to seem a little random at first, but stick with me as I tie all this together. So we're going to start where many mysterious adventures starts.
Uncle Hootenanny's House o' Flapjacks?
Even mysteriouser. The Haunted Mansion.
Gosh, Alex, are you sure?
I'm gravely sure. Next time you're in front of the Haunted Mansion, look for a small bricked-up archway in the stone wall along the riverfront. The keystone of this archway has a date inscribed in it, 1764.
What does that date mean? It's way before Tom Sawyer's time.
Well, Henderson, no one's certain. But there are whispers that this archway is all that remains of a plan to create a mega theme that united Tom Sawyer Island, Pirates of the Caribbean, and the Haunted Mansion. And the retheming of Tom Sawyer Island was part of that mega theme.
Okay, I want to believe you, but where's the evidence?
Wait for it. The mega theme was the brainchild of Imagineer Eddie Soto in the late 80s. Inspired by the Lafitte's landing sign at the boarding area of the Pirates of the Caribbean, Soto's imagination just took off. He imagined that Jean Lafitte was the owner of the Haunted Mansion, and that the Pirates of the Caribbean ride was about his wild exploits as a pirate.
What are you trying to take me for, Al? A rube? This idea of connecting pirates and the Haunted Mansion goes all the way back to the early 60s when the Haunted Mansion was being developed. Does the name Captain Blood ring any bells? You should really listen to our Haunted Mansion episode.
Hold on, dude, hold on. So, let me get back on track. Soto's Lafitte was different from Captain Blood. See, Soto imagined that Lafitte owned the Haunted Mansion. He led a secret life in Pirates of the Caribbean, and he ran a complex underground smuggling ring, which led to his smuggling headquarters on Tom Sawyer's Island.
Wait, a complex underground smuggling ring?
No, not a snuggling ring.
So wait, was he smuggling snuggles or snuggling smuggles?
I guess your guess is as good as mine on that one. Folks, I guess this is as good a place as any to end this episode.
Well, I was just clarifying for our listeners. Somebody might have been confused.
Harry, nobody thinks pirates run underground snuggling rings.
Oh, I guess you're the pirate expert. Not.
Wow, Sour Gums. You really cut me deep on that one. I thought you were saying I was a pirate expert, and then out of nowhere you say, not? I don't think I'll be able to sleep tonight.
Really?
Not? Now, how does it feel?
Oh, it feels just awful. Anyway, tell me more about this wild theory.
So anyway, Soto's plans included an underground crypt guests could enter near the Haunted Mansion. This crypt was inspired by the real-life catacombs under the city of Paris.
That explains the creepy bricked-up culvert.
Exactly. In Paris, there are some underground passageways that were bricked up years ago so people wouldn't explore the huge catacombs under the city and get lost. So Soto took inspiration from Paris and applied it to New Orleans Square.
I just love how complex New Orleans Square theming is. I know I say this every time we talk about it, but they really thought of everything.
And this is like a really complex idea that this guy came up with. Holy mackerel, talk about like insanely. This is like one of the first really good fan theories, it seems like.
Yeah, and you can see this guy just pacing around his apartment or his house at like 3 a.m, you know, fitting all these pieces together.
Exactly, and it didn't stop there. This underground smuggling route would be filled with skull-lined walls and hidden treasure. And after you walk through this perilous pirate maze, you would emerge out on Tom Sawyer Island, where Lafitte ran his dirty smuggling operation.
This idea sounds incredible. And they nixed it?
They sure did. You know, maybe it wasn't a great idea to have a huge tunnel under the rivers of America, or maybe it was just way too creepy. I mean, anyway, the idea was dead by the early 90s.
I would have loved to see that. I mean, it was a good idea, right?
Right, but there are hints of the idea all over the park still. Stick with me here. So many of the props that used to be in Andrew Jackson's tableau in front of Fort Wilderness on Tom Sawyer Island are now actually in the Haunted Mansion attic.
And for our listeners, the north part of Tom Sawyer Island used to be a little area called Fort Wilderness. It closed in 2003 and was finally demolished in 2007, but before that it was themed to be a settler's fort during the War of 1812. You walked into the gates and there was a little trading post and regimental headquarters.
Exactly. Now inside the regimental headquarters, there was a scene of Davy Crockett and George Russell reporting to Andrew Jackson, who was seated behind a desk. And historically, Andrew Jackson and Jean Lafitte fought alongside each other at the Battle of New Orleans, which is awesome real-life history.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I can see some connection here. So what props made it from the closed Andrew Jackson mural to the Haunted Mansion attic?
So the jacket with gold tassels that Andrew Jackson was wearing, the chair he was sitting in, and even the portrait of George Washington above Jackson's desk.
But that could all be coincidence, right? I mean, they recycled tons of props from America Sings for Splash Mountain, and those two attractions don't have a common backstory.
Now, there definitely isn't proof that the Jackson mural at Fort Wilderness is supposed to be connected to the Haunted Mansion, but the historical connection between Jackson and Lafitte, along with the scrapped mega theme, makes this a theory really worth entertaining.
Well, and now that I think about it, there is definitely a smuggling theme in Pirate's Lair on Tom Sawyer Island. And when you think about it, smuggling or snuggling was not a very big part of the Pirates of the Caribbean films.
Not at all. I think that Tom Sawyer Island, Haunted Mansion, and pirates are all connected. I mean, even if the evidence isn't rock solid, it really is fun to imagine.
Totally. And that's one of the great things about Disneyland, especially New Orleans Square and Company. They leave it up to you to imagine your own backstory.
And that's really the spirit of Tom Sawyer Island. It's a place where you can imagine your own stories. Disney provides the backdrop, and you create your own scenes with your own sense of play and imagination.
And speaking of scenes, Al, we haven't talked about the Pioneer Cabin on Tom Sawyer Island. We discuss it pretty thoroughly in our Davy Crockett Explorer Canoes episode, but Imagineers gave the cabin a fresh narrative when they refurbished the Rivers of America in 2010. That cabin is home to one Mike Fink.
Mike Fink?
Yep, Mike Fink. Apparently, Mike Fink is an oft-forgotten American tall tale. Legend says that he was a burly Mississippi keelboater famous for hard drinking, hard fighting, and hard laughing. The tale goes that he loved women and whiskey, and he was too mean to die. yeah, one of those big characters, you know. And Mike Fink raced Davy Crockett and his sidekick George Russell in a keelboat to New Orleans in the 1956 Disney film Davy Crockett and the River Pirates. In the new cabin, you can hear Mike Fink, Davy Crockett, and George Russell bragging about who's the king of the river.
I like how they drew characters from a mostly forgotten Disney movie. That's not uncommon, actually. I think that aligns with the Disney spirit that good characters can connect with kids and adults from all generations.
Definitely. And here's a fun fact related to that. There actually used to be Mike Fink keelboats in the Rivers of America, in addition to the Davy Crockett Explorer canoes. But in 1997, a Mike Fink keelboat called the Gully Wumper tipped over and dunked a bunch of guests into the River of America.
Whoops.
Yeah, no one was seriously hurt. And that was, if you read about the 90s and stuff, that was kind of a bad time for park maintenance. Yeah, no one was seriously hurt, but Disneyland retired the keelboats after that. Anyway, Al, my shoulders are starting to get kind of tired from whitewashing the tips of these picket fences.
Are you kidding? Painting the fence pickets is my favorite part. You have to reach all the way up there and stand on your tippy toes. Only the best painters can do it.
Yeah, it's okay. It's just, can I have a break?
Well, if you took a break, it'd mean you'd be letting me have all the fun. Because if you put that brush down, I swear, I'm going to be picking it up and it's going to be mighty hard to persuade me to give it back to you again.
Right, right, because you love whitewashing so much. This stinks.
And that's all the time we have for today, folks. Thanks for taking the time to listen to this episode. If you feel inclined to write us a review on iTunes, we'd be much obliged. We're also on Twitter and Instagram, so don't be no kind of stranger.
My wrist hurts.
Folks, as you exit, please watch your head and watch your step. And if you miss your step and hit your head, please watch your language. Bye. Harry, quit bellying. Well, I could find 10 fellers out there who'd love to whitewash this fence. Well, I mean, look at you. You're the envy of the town.
Can I get a second brush or something?
make sure that's me.